Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, December 2nd, 2021, 1 John.
Did you all see this as you came in on the glass door? No? Some of you did, but you can't read. Schedule change next week. Next week's schedule change. Classes are Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week. Why? Because I said so. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we have a cleaning crew coming in. They're going to redo all the floors. It takes a couple of days for the odors to all dissipate so that we don't lose some of you. We don't want you to have to get vaccinated or anything. And so classes are Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They're going to do work on Thursday, and then everything will be back to normal on Sunday. Get the once a year, whether we need it or not, we get the floors done. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 2. We are in verse 28, studying one of the greatest doctrines in the word of God for you, royal family. And that is the doctrine of the rapture of the church. 1 John 2:28. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, in these days of apostasy in Client Nation USA, you have blessed us with one more day of freedom. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John 2:28. We've actually exegeted half the verse, but I'll give you a preview of coming attractions and give you, well, how the whole verse is going to sound like. And now, dear children, that is the Apostle John's addressing his congregation. Keep on abiding in him. That is, keep on staying in fellowship with him, filled with the Spirit, living the spiritual life. For the purpose that when he appears, and this appearance is the appearance of Christ at the rapture of the church, the royal family of God. The rest of the verse will sound like this. For the purpose that when he appears, we might have confidence and might not be disgraced and put to shame by him, Jesus Christ, at his coming, the rapture, and in his presence at the judgment seat of Christ. This is one of the central passages on the rapture, but there are many passages in the New Testament scriptures, in the Mousterion doctrine for this unique dispensation, many different places in the New Testament that teach this great, great doctrine. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians chapter 15. One of the greatest doctrines for the royal family of God is the doctrine of the rapture, the resurrection of the royal family, especially for all winner believers. Now, why do I say that? Does that mean loser believers won't be included? No. Loser believers will be included in the rapture as well. All believers in Jesus Christ will be resurrected, receive a resurrection body at the rapture. That will be true for all. But why is it especially a great, great doctrine for all winner believers? Because they are occupied with Jesus Christ. They have lived the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. They've advanced to spiritual maturity. They have virtue, love brought to completion in their heart. And Jesus Christ is their most important love. And therefore, they are eagerly, eagerly looking forward to the rapture. But that's only true of winner believers. That's not true of loser believers. We have a lot of loser believers, unfortunately, today in America, more loser believers than winner believers. And they're living their life in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred. They are totally caught up with the glory of this world, the glory of the cosmos. And they don't love Jesus Christ at all. And they definitely are not eagerly looking forward to Christ coming at the rapture. So really, the rapture doesn't mean, the doctrine of the rapture means nothing to them. They're too busy living by the lust patterns of their sin nature, walking in darkness, and they could care less about God or the Word of God or Jesus Christ. So that's why I say this doctrine, the doctrine of the rapture, is one of the greatest doctrines, especially for the winner believer. Because his most important love is Jesus Christ. He is occupied with Christ, and he's looking forward eagerly for Christ to come at the rapture, his appearance. Now, 1 Corinthians 15. This is one of the central passages in the New Testament on the doctrine of the rapture. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 58. The other central passage is 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. And we're going to be noting that tonight also, I believe, if we get there. I don't have anywhere listed on here the time. And you know, it's always interesting. God the Holy Spirit, if I don't come up here in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit, then I'd just walk home. I'd just go home. But you see, God the Holy Spirit leads me, guides me, brings to the memory center of my soul all kinds of applications that I don't even have down here. They're not down at all. But God the Holy Spirit brings that to communicate these truths. And so sometimes I think I got about 8 pages I'm going to teach, and I teach two. Other times I think I'm going to teach three pages and I teach eight. So it's and they always at seminary this is homiletics. Now Colonel Thame, Pastor Thame came and he told us all, you're not here to change the seminary. You're here and whatever classes you have, you do your job as unto the Lord. You be the best you can be in it, all the classes. He says, I understand some of the classes you take are really it's just testing more than anything else. But you're going to do your job. In homiletics, they teach you, you know, how to stand and how to tie your tie, and you can only give 3 points because nobody can remember more than that. And they would say, when you're teaching the Word of God, you need to practice your gestures. You need to stand in front of a mirror and practice your gestures, you know. Like, hell, you. I want you to know I've been a pastor for 44 years. I have never practiced in front of a mirror ever. First of all, it's too ugly to look at. So I don't practice in front of a mirror. I never practice a gesture. Whatever gestures you get up here. Motivated by the Spirit of God. So in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, the Apostle Paul says, listen, which is pay attention, loosen up. I tell you a mystery. The Greek word is musterion. M-U-S-T long E-R-I-O-N. Musterion. Now this is a very special word, very important word. What this word means is that in the Old Testament scriptures, they knew nothing about the rapture. We have this word musterion used for the church age truth. Church age doctrine, about the spiritual life. All of that is musterion, mystery doctrine, church age truth. For us, royal family of God, in the church age, which started at Pentecost and concludes at the rapture. And none of it was known about in the Old Testament. Nobody knew about it. Now, this is very important because there are a lot of Christians. They're very sloppy. They're not prepared. They have men in the pulpit not prepared for the ministry. And they will tell you, well, the rapture and the second advent are the same thing. No, they're not. And right here is a good example why. The second advent is prophesied over and over and over and over in the Old Testament. They knew all about the second advent of Jesus Christ when he comes back and his foot touched down on the Mount of Olives, and they knew all about that. But they knew nothing about the rapture. Why? Because it's mystery doctrine. Musterion. So the rapture is 100% different than the second advent. Second advent is when Jesus Christ comes back to the earth at the end of the age of Israel, at the end of the tribulation period. The rapture is the end of the church age. The rapture occurs 7 years before the second advent. The rapture only resurrects the royal family of God, the body of Christ. Every believer from Pentecost to the rapture makes up the body of Christ on earth, and then we become the bride of Christ in heaven, and then we return as his bride to the earth at the second advent and reign with him during the millennial kingdom. So, the rapture is musterion, mystery doctrine. It is impossible for you to say that the rapture and the second advent are the same. Listen, pay attention, loosen up. I tell you a mystery. This is mystery doctrine I'm teaching, Paul says. Nobody knew about this in the Old Testament scriptures. We will not all sleep, and sleep is used for physical death of the believer in Jesus Christ. Cool way to describe physical death for the believer. In other words, your body in the grave, as it were, is just sleeping, and you're going to have a resurrection body at the rapture. So he says, we will not all sleep. We're not going to all suffer physical death and then be resurrected out from the dead ones. Rather, he says, but we, and Paul is saying this, including himself, but we will all be changed. And this is, these are the believers who are living at the time of the rapture. When the rapture takes place, Jesus Christ gets up out of his chair of victory at the right hand of God the Father, leaves the third heaven, comes through the second heaven, and comes into the atmospheric heavens around the earth. Nobody will see Jesus Christ in the atmospheric heavens. The only ones who will see him are his bride. We're called the body of Christ here on earth, but we will be his bride in heaven forever and ever and ever. And we will see him. And when he says, we will all be changed, Paul is teaching the imminency of the rapture. The imminency of the rapture. Paul believed, that he knew that there was no prophecy. There was no prophecy that had to take place before the rapture occurs. And therefore, he realized the rapture could take place in his lifetime. And so he includes himself as well as all other believers living at that time. But we, that is the rapture generation, the ones who are living when the rapture takes place, we will all be changed. And how is that change going to take place? In a flash. In the twinkling of an eye. We might say in the splitting of an atom. At the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound. Now I want you to pay attention to this because we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians 4 later on tonight, I believe. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. Now, I want you to remember this, because this will correlate when we get to 1 Thessalonians 4. The trumpet will sound to bring the dead. The dead in Christ will be raised imperishable with the trumpet. Now, there's going to be a voice. In 1 Thessalonians, there's two things. The trumpet will sound, and the second one, the voice of the archangel. And that archangel, there's only two archangels mentioned in the Word of God, Michael and Gabriel. Michael's associated with Israel, Gabriel's associated with the royal family of God. And the voice of the archangel is Gabriel, and he will take all of those living at the time of the rapture. Through his voice. So there's two things in 1 Thessalonians, but here it defines that the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable. All believers who have died, and they will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. The rapture generation living at the time of the rapture. For the perishable must put on the imperishable, that's the dead in Christ, and the mortal with immortality, that's the believers who are alive at the time of the rapture. When this perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and this mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, beloved brethren, be steadfast, stand firm, and let nothing move you. That is, don't let anything distract you from living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, is not in vain. And again, the winner believer, the doctrine of the rapture means everything. It's so fantastic. The winner believer, he totally knows this. He knows it, he believes it, and he won't let anything distract him from living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advancing to maturity, glorifying God to the maximum. The loser believer in the cosmic system, well, he could care less. He's too preoccupied with himself, self-centered, selfish, functioning by the lust patterns of his sin nature, caught up with the glory of the cosmic system, and he isn't looking for Christ at all. So this is a magnificent doctrine, but especially for all winner believers. Okay? We started studying this doctrine last time. We noted the definition. We noted that the word rapture is a technical theological term to describe the resurrection of the church, the royal family of God. It actually comes from the Latin word rapere in the Latin translation of 1 Thessalonians 4:17. It translates the Greek word harpazo, to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. God interrupted the age of Israel. The age of Israel is not completed yet. He interrupted the age of Israel with the church age. The church age is an intercalation to call out and provide a royal family for Jesus Christ in his battlefield royalty seated at the right hand of God the Father. Once the royal family of God is completed, the church is resurrected as the body of Christ to become the bride of Christ. And we're all prepared. During that last 7 years of the age of Israel, the tribulation, we're being prepared in heaven decked out to return with Christ as his bride. And what is the millennial king? We come back as his bride, and what is there? The coronation of Christ and the wedding supper of the Lamb, the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, the wedding supper of the Lamb, and we are there as his bride. The church age is that period of human history when the royal family of God is being formed on earth. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, Colossians 1, 18 and verse 24. When the royal family of God is completed, then the rapture occurs. And the two central passages, the one we noted, 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 58 and 1 Thessalonians 4. And we will note that later on. After the rapture, we have the conclusion of the age of Israel on earth, the last 7 years of the age of Israel, known as the tribulation, the last 3.5 years, known as the great tribulation. While the conclusion of the age of Israel takes place on earth, the bride of Christ, the royal family of God, is prepared in heaven by receiving a resurrection body like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then comes the big genuflex and acknowledgement of Christ, and then comes the judgment seat of Christ when all church age believers are evaluated and either rewarded or suffer the loss of reward, 2 Corinthians 5:10. And then we return with Christ as his bride at the second advent, 1 Thessalonians 3:13. And then point two, we noted Jesus Christ teaching the promise of the rapture, John 14, 1 through 3. And then point three, the imminency of the rapture, and we have studied the first 5 points of the imminency of the rapture. Now, imminency means impending or threatening to occur, but it does not mean immediately. So we noted the first 5 points. Point one, the imminency of the rapture is used technically for the fact that no prophecy has to be fulfilled before the rapture occurs. No prophecy has to be fulfilled before the rapture occurs. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, and we will be changed. First, the trumpet will sound. The trumpet rallies all the dead in Christ, will be raised imperishable. And then we, living at the time of the rapture, the rapture generation, we will be changed. And he says we because he knew the rapture was imminent and it could occur in his lifetime. So the rapture is used technically for the fact that no prophecy has to be fulfilled before the rapture occurs. Two, the rapture will occur when the last member of the body of Christ is saved. Three, the church age is the only dispensation in which there are historical trends but no prophecy. The only prophecy dealing with the church age is its beginning and its ending. The church age began with an event that was prophesied, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which occurred on Pentecost. Our Lord prophesied this in the upper room discourse and just before his ascension. The church age terminates with the rapture, which was also prophesied. But there is no point four, but there is no prophecy between these two events. The baptism of the Spirit, Pentecost, is the beginning of the church age. The rapture is the conclusion of the church age. Point five, no prophecy between the baptism of the Spirit and the rapture means that the rapture is imminent. It could occur at any time. No one knows the day or the hour. The resurrection of the church, like our dying, is completely out of our control. And I am. Aren't you glad about that? Isn't that what a blessing. Our dying is completely out of our control. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to, oh, gee, I think I might have cancer. I might have, you know, I got a really bad hangnail. I can't stand anymore. My knees hurt so bad. I got all, you don't have to worry. I don't know how I'm going to go to heaven, but I know God knows. And I'm looking forward to it. Physical death is dessert. I love dessert. I don't know what you had on Thanksgiving. I assume that you had a lot of wonderful things. We did too. And my granddaughter, Sophia, made me, made a chocolate pie. She made a chocolate pie, but she knows that I love chocolate pie, and she made the right, there's one really special chocolate pie. And I got whipped cream on my chocolate pie, and I got a maraschino cherry on the whipped cream. So there, I don't know what you had. And that's physical death for the winner believer. That's what dying grace is. And so all I know is that when it's time the Lord says come home, I get my chocolate pie with whipped cream and a maraschino cherry. And so I don't worry about it. I don't care. I've gone into doctor's offices and they say, oh, you have this. No, really. And I always have to tell the doctor, well, not to worry, doc. It's a party. God put me here for a purpose. There's only one reason I'm here, and that is to teach His word to His sheep. And that's the only reason why I'm here. And I'm doing that by His grace and His power. And when He says, come home, it's time to celebrate. It's a promotion. It's a party. And so, don't you worry about it, doc. I've seen some of my doctors get this. I said, don't worry about it, doc. It's time to celebrate. Because this promotion, absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. So the rapture can occur at any time. No one knows the day or the hour. The resurrection of the church, like our dying, is completely out of our control. Just as we have no control over the time and manner of our death, so we have no control over the time and manner of the rapture. That brings us to point six. Subpoint six. The resurrection of the church is totally beyond our control. The resurrection of the church, or the rapture, is totally beyond our control, because resurrection is the Lord's victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 7. While the rapture is imminent, the second advent is not. Another distinction between the rapture and the second advent. The rapture is imminent, but the second advent is not. Before the second advent occurs, there are many, many prophecies which must take place. All throughout the Old Testament scriptures, prophecy after prophecy after prophecy, they have to be fulfilled before the second advent. Revelation chapter 6 through 19. Everything in Revelation chapter 6 through 19 has to be fulfilled before the second advent. But there's no prophecy that must be fulfilled before the rapture. So before the second advent occurs, there are many prophecies which must occur. The rapture could have occurred at the time that the Apostle Paul was living, as I pointed out in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because no prophecy had to be fulfilled before the resurrection of the royal family of God occurs. 8. Because there was no unfulfilled prophecy before the rapture could occur, the early church anticipated the rapture and looked eagerly for the rapture as occurring in their lifetime. And that's 1 Corinthians 15:52, and that's 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1, we'll start at verse 4. I am always thanking my God concerning you on the basis of the grace of God which was given to you in Christ Jesus. Because in Him, in Christ, union with Christ, and we're all in union with Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have been made rich in everything, in every category of speaking gift, gifts of communication, and every category of knowledge gift. Because our witness about Christ was caused to be made firm in you, with the result that you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, imminency of the rapture. As you eagerly wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. So because there was no unfulfilled prophecy before the rapture could occur, the early church anticipated the rapture under the concept of imminency. 9. So while the rapture is imminent, no one really knows when it will occur. While the rapture is imminent, no one really knows when it will occur. In the meantime, the royal family of God lives in the dispensation of the church age, and as Paul taught in verse 58 of 1 Corinthians 15, therefore, beloved brethren, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Let nothing distract you from living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. 10. Three times in the book of Revelation, we have another phrase, I am coming soon. We see this in Revelation 22, verse 7, and verse 12, and verse 20. I am coming soon. Now, remember that to the Lord, a day is as a thousand years. And a thousand years as a day. Revelation was written in AD 96. So that phrase, I am coming soon, was written in AD 96. This is now AD 2021. So a couple of days. What is it teaching? Soon is teaching the imminency of the rapture, not immediacy. Imminency is not immediacy. 11. The rapture of the church is the next prophetical event to occur in history. The rapture of the church is the next prophetical event to occur in history. Turn over to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Titus 2, verse 13. While we wait for the blessed hope. This is referring to the doctrine of the rapture. The rapture or the resurrection of the royal family of God is called the blessed hope. While we wait for the blessed hope. What is that? The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That glorious appearing is the rapture, the resurrection of the royal family of God. And notice, Jesus Christ, this is the Granville Sharp rule of grammar. Two nouns connected by a kind in the same case. First one has the definite article, second one does not. Both of them refer to the very same person. Great God Jesus Christ is the great God. Jesus Christ is the Savior. This dogmatically teaches the deity of Jesus Christ. He is our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the rapture is the blessed hope. So the rapture of the church is the next prophetical event to occur in history. You know that the rapture is coming. It may not occur in your lifetime, but you still know it is coming. And in this way, you keep on living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. You keep on having, advancing to maturity, having virtue love brought to completion in your heart, having Jesus Christ as your most important love, sharing the happiness of God, and glorifying God to the maximum. And therefore, you glorify God in your living, and you glorify God in your dying, but you know the rapture is coming. The glory of this world passes away. The loser believer, that's all he's caught up with. The glory of the cosmic system, operating by the lust patterns of his sin nature. He does not love Jesus Christ. He's not occupied with Jesus Christ. He does not share the happiness of God. He's too self-centered, too selfish, too walking in the darkness of the cosmic system. And therefore, it doesn't mean anything to him. The glory of this world passes away because it's based on the achievement of man. But we are called to become invisible heroes by advancing to spiritual maturity. 12. The imminency of the rapture is a doctrine for mature believers only. The imminency of the rapture is a doctrine for mature believers only. The spiritually mature believer is eager for the rapture to occur. He is so occupied with Jesus Christ that he looks forward to the rapture. Jesus Christ is his most important love, so he looks forward to that blessed hope. His great God and Savior coming for him at the rapture. So the imminency of the rapture is a doctrine for mature believers only. Loser believers, they will be participate in it, but they don't eagerly look forward to it. 13. Only God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit knows when the rapture is going to occur. Only God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit knows when the rapture is going to occur. All right. That's the point on the imminency of the rapture. Now, point four. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that resurrects each one of us at the rapture. The resurrection of the church. 1 Corinthians 6:14. Now God has not only resurrected our Lord, but he will raise us up through his power. So the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that resurrects each of us at the rapture. The resurrection of the church. 1 Corinthians 6:14. Our Lord's resurrection was the first resurrection in history. The rapture of the church is the first mass resurrection, when all church age believers receive their resurrection body. So our Lord's resurrection was the first resurrection in history. That was one person. But the rapture of the church is the first mass resurrection, when all church age believers receive their resurrection bodies. Between the first two resurrections in history is the dispensation we live in, the unique church age, the time when maximum divine power is available to every believer. So the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is not only the same power that will raise us from the dead, but in addition, it is the power made available to us today to live this unique spiritual life and glorify God to the maximum. That power, the spiritual life of the church age is a supernatural way of life, demands supernatural power for its execution. That power is the power of the Spirit of God and the power of the Word of God. And that's why we're commanded, Ephesians 5:18, keep on being filled or empowered by the Spirit. Keep on walking by the agency of the Spirit. The power of God the Holy Spirit is the power to live this unique spiritual life and glorify God to the maximum. Point five, scriptural documentation. Scriptural documentation. First of all, turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him, Christ. Occupation with, reach the point of occupation with Christ, where Jesus Christ is your most important love, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. The only sufferings Christ received was suffering for blessing. He never received punitive suffering. He was impeccable, sinless perfection. He never committed even one sin. And the fellowship of His sufferings is suffering for blessing as a spiritually mature believer, being conformed to His death in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, the rapture. And then turn over to 1 John 3. 1 John 3. First John 3. I've already completed 1 John 3. And so this is preview of the coming attractions. I'm reading you my corrected translation. But we're getting there. There's only one more verse in chapter 2 after 28. That's 29. I know you're right on top of that. 1 John 3, verses 2. And by the way, when I'm teaching, what I'm teaching today, I studied 6 months ago. So if you come in here and think in the class hits you right between the eyes, I did that 6 months ago before your eyes were even here. And so I'm not, nothing personal. Every class I teach was 6 months ago. It wasn't something I just said, oh, I'm going to make this up and do something special. And no. I'm 6 months ahead in all of my classes. I'm several chapters ahead in all of my classes. So if something... God the Holy Spirit is, I communicate the Word of God. The Holy Spirit then takes it into your heart and says, here's the truth. Now you have a chance to believe it or reject it. Never anything personal. It's between you and God. You and your Lord. You have the privilege of believing it, rejecting it. But there's never anything personal. Verse 2. 1 John 3, verse 2, beloved, now we are the children of God. That is, students, children under the authority and training of God. And what we will be has not yet been revealed. But we know that when He appears, when Christ appears, the rapture, we will be like Him. Our resurrection body will be similar to the resurrection body of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we shall see Him just as He is. Verse 3, and everyone, that is, everyone here referring to the winner believers, spiritually mature believers, who keeps on having and holding this hope in Him, this confidence in Him, Jesus Christ, keeps on purifying himself, just as that unique person, Jesus Christ, is pure. And purifying yourself, well, that's walking in the light, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. And we've already looked up Titus 2:13. I refer you to that as another scriptural documentation. 1 Corinthians 6:14. Now God has not only resurrected the Lord, but He will raise us up through His power as well. 1 Corinthians 6:14. And then one of the major passages on the rapture, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. So turn over to 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. Now, I want you to, did you remember what I told you remember about 1 Corinthians 15? No. Okay. First Thessalonians 4, we'll start out verse 13. Brothers, that's referring to believers in Jesus Christ, royal family of God. We do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. Now there's two groups here. There are believers who are ignorant, and there are believers who grieve like unbelievers. So this is a very important warning with regard to this doctrine. So verse 13, one, the worst thing that can happen to you is to be ignorant of the Word of God. The worst thing that can happen to you is to be ignorant of the Word of God. You don't know what God has revealed in His Word. Sad to say, but that characterizes most Christians in the world today, and especially in America. They are ignorant of the Word of God. The Thessalonian believers were very confused. They had learned about the rapture, and they had learned that the rapture is imminent. And yet their friends and loved ones were dying, and the rapture had not occurred. And therefore that caused them to conclude that those believers who died would be left out. They would be left out of the rapture. Their ignorance led to confusion and worry and sins, mental attitude sins. So the worst thing that can happen to you is to be ignorant of the Word of God. Two, the word sleep describes the death of a believer in Jesus Christ. Sleep describes the death of a believer in Jesus Christ. Three, the unbeliever has no hope. And so Paul is warning them, don't grieve like the unbeliever. The unbeliever has no hope. If you live on this earth, however long it is, and you die without believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior, your name is blotted out of the book of life. And you have no hope. And after death, there is nothing for him but the lake of fire. That's all. The lake of fire is no hope. And you know, if you understand that as royal family of God, and you're an enlightened congregation, that ought, just understanding that as you look at people. You see, I have absolute confidence that whatever I'm doing, if there's people that come into my periphery, that's not an accident. God ordained that. God set that up, brought this person into my periphery, and I will give that person the gospel. I will tell them the good news about Jesus Christ, because I know there are no accidents at all. And I've done that everywhere. When I was a janitor at Salad Master in Dallas, Texas, I did it. When I was on an airplane and somebody sat down in the seat next to me, I believed that and gave them the gospel. Wherever I get my hair cut, no accident, I get my hair cut. And the barber who cuts my hair, and give them the gospel. My neighbor who comes by and I say Merry Christmas. We gave her the little purple book, God's Gift of Love to the World, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no accidents. Whether it's people in your neighborhood, people at work, whether it's you're on a vacation, wherever you go. You might be hunting. Some of you are going, I know I'm going to lose about 50% of the congregation because you all have elk tags, deer tags, and all these things. You're all going hunting. And while you're in your reversionism, just kidding. I love hunting too. That has been a part of my, there's a greater grace blessing paragraph for each one of you that God has designed just for you. Just for you. It's fantastic. He set that up to give you these greater grace blessings, which he knows will be phenomenal for you. And what's phenomenal for you will be different for the next person. But he knew that I grew up loving to hunt and fish. When I first came here to Las Vegas, I even prayed, Father, why do you bring me to a desert? Father, what? I love hunting and fishing. Fish don't live in sand. The only thing I can hunt is a lizard. I thought. I was wrong. I was 100% wrong. And when I was making that prayer, God is just, this guy is ignorant, ignorant, ignorant. And I found out, my favorite room in my house has trophy after trophy after trophy after trophy of animals. And every one of those is a greater grace blessing. And I just sit down in there, I just pick out an animal. Desert bighorn sheep. I put in for a tag. I know they only gave out like, for the area I put in, they only gave out like 3 tags. Thousands put in for it and they gave 3 out. And I got one of those tags. I even read that there's people, they have a governor's tag, and they auction off the governor's tag. And that year that I got my tag, they auctioned off the governor's tag for $250,000. $250,000 to get a desert bighorn sheep. If that guy had called me, he could have had mine. That's illegal. I'm sorry. I can't. I'm just kidding. The reason why I got that tag was that God wanted my guide to hear the gospel. And one day we didn't see anything. My guide was apologizing. I said, "Don't apologize. This is all part of the plan of God." I said, "Let's go back and just not hunt today." We went back and had some lunch, and I gave the gospel to him, and he believed in Jesus Christ as a Savior. I tell you, I went back in the trailer with my guest, and I said, The only reason I got this tag was that God wanted that get that guy into heaven so bad, he gave me the tag so I could give him the gospel. I don't care whether we get a desert bighorn sheep or not. This was what the whole trip was about, to give him the gospel. And now he's a believer. I gave him a bunch of Colonel Thames booklets. And then he called me up and he said, "Dick, I'd like to, you said you have Bible classes, can I get those Bible classes?" And he was listening to the Bible classes from here. So I look at the desert bighorn sheep. By the way, technical name is the Nelson bighorn. Oh, I name all my animals. I name them all. So this was a Nelson bighorn, so he's Ozzie. Ozzie Nelson is taxidermy and hanging on my wall. And I think when I look at him, that what a grace blessing. And every animal is, it's very, very similar, each one. So after a while I got to, geez, I see what God is doing. He has a special greater grace blessing paragraph, and I thought I came to the desert and would never hunt and never fish. And I'm hunting animals I could never have hunted in the state of Washington. And he has that for you, each one of you. You live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, he will pour out those greater grace blessings on you, just designed for you. So, but the unbeliever, the one who lives in this life and dies without believing in Jesus Christ, he has no hope. And after death, there's nothing for him but the lake of fire. And I don't care if they are Antifa members or Black Lives Matter members or whatever. If they come into my periphery, I'll give them the gospel. I can't decide who is going to believe in Christ and who is not. But I am a channel of God's grace and a royal ambassador to tell the good news. And how do you know? Maybe that person will believe in Christ and be the next Apostle Paul. Not an apostle, but great believer. So again, I said that we would get to 1 Thessalonians 4. I didn't say how far we would get in 1 Thessalonians. We got verse 13. That's a good start. "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men, unbelievers, who have no hope." All right, well, we're going to start at verse 14 next Wednesday. Did you remember? Classes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Now, I'm going to lose most of my congregation. When do you go?
Sunday.
Huh?
Sunday, after class Sunday.
After class Sunday. You're sticking around. Good thing you stuck around for communion. I mean, after Sunday. All right. And you have elk tag? Well, you got a deer. Deer's a lot smaller than elk. Yeah, I'll be able to get that out. But get that heart lung shot dead center, right there where the back of the leg comes up. Right there, dead on.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.